week, the work of the Midnight Ravers from midnight until 5. 99.5 FM, WBAI New York, and on the internet at WBAI.org. It is 5 o'clock, and stay tuned for Back of the Book. Back of the Book.
Hello, this is Radio's Uncle Sidney. When I'm out and about, folks comes up to me and says, "You should be ashamed." But when they calms down, they says how much they loves WBAI. That's WBAI New York and WBAI.org. Back in the day, we had commentaries by Malcolm X, Ayn Rand, Abby Hoffman, and William F. Buckley Jr. Imagine them folks in the same room at the same time. Nowadays, we've got Bob Fass, the founder of the Feast. Amy Goodman, you know her, we got her. Michio Kaku, the smartest guy in the world. Shows that helps you not to get evicted. Top-of-the-line news and interviews. Insane artists and musicians. Well, okay, okay, we went nuts for a while back there. But now we're okay. We're like your crackhead cousin that's making good. So we know you're pulling for us. Go, go, run right now to WBAI.org and look around. See where we've gone. You can even subscribe online. Believe me, you'll be glad you did. Stay tuned.
It should be about 5 o'clock in the morning, and you're listening to all How Has It Come to This? Radio WBAI New York.
No, I know we're not in Kansas.
Well, good goddamn morning. How the hell are you? This is WBAI New York. The program is Back of the Book. My name is R. Paul Martin. She is Radio's Pickles of the North. Good morning, my dear.
Good morning to you, my dear, and a hearty hello to our dear 19 listeners, wherever they may be.
And bundled up, as they may well be, too. Oh, it's cold! Of course, it's the last day of January, and February's about to get here. We're in midwinter, so of course it's cold. In a few more years, it may not be anymore. Well, Pickles is going to have something to say about that. Anyway, we're going to talk about various things, and you can find out a little bit more by going up to my website at glib.com, glib.com. You can look around at things up there. When you get there, you'll see a blue navigation frame on the left-hand side of your screen, and it will say latest back-of-the-book program links. Click on that, and you'll get to the web page for tonight's program. We do a new web page for every radio program, and we've done it for quite a few years. We've done it since the 20th century. The WBAI website and the archives appear to be functioning. And also, I've been able to get up the most recent archive blurbs. So if you want to go up there, you'll be able to see whatever we've written about stuff on the WBAI archives. We have had a problem with those for a bit, and I still have to go back and fix some of the archives, but I think they may have had the problem fixed now. And of course, this is our 29th pandemic episode of Back of the Book. It's pre-recorded, and this program was recorded on Friday for airing on Saturday morning. So anything that's happened between Friday evening and when you're hearing this program, we're not going to be talking about that on this program. A recorded program can't be as up-to-date as a live program, but this is what we have to do in these dangerous times. And our top story of the week is... oh, we've dropped to 106 followers on Twitter. Another person has unfollowed us. Oh, my, oh, my. Oh, we're just falling apart over that. The next public WBAI local station board meeting should be held on Wednesday, February 10th, 2021 at 7 p.m. on Zoom. Even though Zoom compromises privacy and security. Yeah, we have that coming up, and we'll be there. At least we don't have to slog through snow or anything to get to it. So, COVID-19 cases in the whole world reached 101,879,986 on Friday, and global deaths reached 2,201,401. In America, the number of cases as of Friday was 25,874,892, and the death toll in America reached 435,452. So 22,516 people have died of COVID-19 in America since our last program only 1 week ago. The death rate is only a bit higher than it was a week ago, but it's higher. And, of course, by the time this program airs on Saturday morning, all of those figures are going to be higher. I guess the next thing we're looking at is when we're going to hit the 500,000 mark of dead in America. We've already reached 101 million cases in the world and 25 million in America. Jesus Christ. And all of this can be laid at the foot of the Chinese Communist Party in the so-called People's Republic of China, and Donald J. Trump. Those entities are the reason why we have a pandemic. Those entities are why 2.2 million people in the world are dead. And I'm sure there will not be actual punishment for any of that. So, the Trump administration left with no plan for the distribution of the various vaccines. President Biden has made a bold claim that he's going to get 200 million doses for Americans, and he's going to actually have a plan for distributing this stuff. How novel. And how much further along would the vaccination program be if only Trump and his pals had behaved normally, which they didn't, and planned out how to distribute the vaccines. And that plan ought to have included obtaining a lot of vaccines. We have, what, 360 million people in America? Trump passed on an extra 100 million doses at one point. We could have had 100 million more doses of the vaccine, but we don't because he didn't want to bother buying them. What crap. They should be in The Hague for this.
Yes, they should.
He, his cabinet, and the Chinese Communist Party should be in jail in The Hague for crimes against humanity on an unprecedented level. We had a pandemic 102 years ago, and it was terrible. But the thing is, people didn't know as much then. They couldn't figure this stuff out. Viruses were just, geez, Christ, what is this? And they just were not able to cope. Today, we can see it coming. And if they had just not ignored the advice they were given, the tutorials they were given by the Obama administration about how to deal with a pandemic if it should happen, you know, we wouldn't have this. There would be 2.2 million people who wouldn't have died of this. So we're going to get 200 million doses as soon as they can manufacture it and ship it to us. Of course, everybody's getting these virus doses. They're looking at the possibility of competitors to the companies that made the vaccines, telling them how to make it and gearing them up so that they can start producing so that this stuff can go out to the whole world. We have 7 billion people in the world, and there isn't one of them who's not in need of a vaccination for this. Of course, they won't all get it, but if they can get enough people vaccinated, this stuff can go away. I mean, smallpox only exists as data and a couple of samples in Russia and America. So it can be done. Polio would be the same thing, wiped out in the world, except for morons in the world who go around attacking the people who give the vaccinations. The more infectious and maybe virulent South African variant of COVID-19 is in the United States. And Dr. Fauci says the vaccines will need to be adjusted due to the mutations observed in the virus. He said, quote, "We will have to be nimble to be able to just adjust readily to make versions of the vaccine that actually are specifically directed towards whatever mutation is actually traveling at any given time," unquote. This is how viruses behave. And I say behave, but this is, you know, the same way as water running down a waterfall behaves. Viruses are not alive, and yeah, everybody talks about killing the virus. A virus is not a living thing. A virus is just a hunk of biology that has interesting effects sometimes. And yeah, the virus is not alive. It doesn't. And its behavior is the behavior of, you know, something following the laws of physics, like rocks falling down instead of falling up. So, yes, we must keep that in mind, that viruses are not alive. I don't know. Maybe it's an esoteric point, but it's a point I think that needs to be made. Anyway, the Republicans now are balking at the $1.9 trillion stimulus package that Biden's proposing. Hey, we want our money. And also, besides us wanting our money, a lot of people want money. And a lot of people are having to deal with the serious aspects of what's happened to the economy. The economy hasn't been this bad since it got hit hard by World War II. And this is a sort of thing that's a lot like a big war. And certainly the death toll has already gone higher than our combat casualties of World War II did. And, of course, we need to stimulate this. We can't just let people go. We can't pull a Herbert Hoover. President Herbert Hoover, upon seeing the Great Depression hit America, said, "Well, the market will take care of that." And he did nothing about it. That's why he got crushed like a grape in the 1932 election by Franklin Delano Roosevelt, who said, "We got to do something about this." And people said, Yeah, we gotta. And so the Republicans don't care that people can't eat, people can't get enough food, that there are children starving in America because they will not release money so that food can be bought. This is outrageous. How the hell can people vote for these Republicans if they behave that way? How stupid do people have to be? I understand, like, some places that are vastly wealthy and they've got lots of money and they say, the hell with the ordinary people. Let's us be rich. Yeah, let's have big tax cuts for our corporations so that we can get even richer. And that's, I'm talking about the places where the people who profit directly from that live, and they're going to, elect Republicans, of course. But what about ordinary people, you know, who are just out in the world who are suffering from this? How stupid do they have to be to keep reelecting Republicans? I don't understand it, except, well, we're going to talk about American stupidity later. I guess that's how we got to that. That's how they get reelected. Anyway, they're balking at the $1.9 trillion stimulus bill that Biden's proposing. And this is a big problem. How are businesses going to go? What's going to happen if everything gets ruined and then we have to start off as if it's like 1946 or something and everybody's dirt poor? And or maybe even it's 1932 when it was the height of the Depression and everybody was getting evicted and people couldn't eat and there were people walking around, you know, with signs that said, we'll work for food, stuff like that. We have this again. We're in this situation. And yet the Republicans refuse to pass a stimulus package. At least they're saying they're balking at it. I don't know. Maybe they can be brought around, but Jesus Christ, this is criminal stuff from the Republican Party. And arrests of the January 6th insurrectionists continue. One member of Congress, who might be the one who gave the insurrectionists tours of the Capitol building, showing them where the weak spots were in the building's security, and doing this the day before the attack happened, and is a QAnon cuckoo. Well, she's in Congress, but they're bringing a motion to expel her. I'm sure that the Republicans will block that. I think you need like a 2/3 to throw somebody out. And the Republicans will say, oh, no, this was okay. You know, this is, she can bring a gun in here. Well, you know, what if everybody brings guns? I think if various people bring guns in with them, the Republicans will start getting a little nervous. What if brings in some nice, large weapon? I think they'll start saying, oh, man, maybe we opened up something we shouldn't have opened up. But this person should go. This QAnon jackass in Congress, she should be expelled. Something should be done about it. And she should probably be arrested. I mean, she has said things about murdering Democrats. I know that we can't say that sort of thing. We couldn't say it about Trump or his cabinet or the Republicans in general, or we would have been liable to arrest. Well, why isn't she liable to arrest? Arrest her ass. Put her in prison. Christ. In other news, Pickles of the North and I continue our pandemic lifestyle. In another week, we're going to have, or a little bit less than a week, we're going to have to defrost our frost-free refrigerator again. And we keep doing this, and we're surviving, and it's okay. Of course, now, with current temperatures, I think we could just, like, put a bottle of milk on the windowsill and let that be our refrigerator for the day or so that we defrost the whole damn thing. And we're going to be getting a big snowstorm and stuff coming. We're going to get, like, a two-day snowstorm nor'easter. Oh boy, batten down your hatches, folks. Gonna be a little bit difficult there. And at this point, we would like to offer some wishes to a certain saddle pal. Yes, Maxwell J. Schmid, get well soon. Maxwell and Rat Girl of the West revealed on a recent radio program of theirs that Maxwell's had some medical issues.
Yes, and we just hope Uncle Max recovers very soon. And Rat Girl, please, please, no, we love you both.
Indeed. So, yeah, Maxwell, recover more. Recover more, you ignorant slut. Anyway, yes, this is a term of endearment we've had for many years. Anyway, so yeah, Max, get well soon. All right. And here's a reminder. We are a weekly radio program. I guess we should stop reminding everybody about this by now. It's 2 months into being weekly, and I guess people know. We have changed our evergreen. You have an upcoming programs thing on WBAI's front page at WBAI.org. And I always put up a graphic with a little blurb about the upcoming program. And so we have had, I can't get the whole graphic done in advance because I don't know what the hell's going to happen on this radio program. And so I usually get it done these days after we've recorded. Sometimes when we did it live, I did it before then, but I had to do it before then. So I came up with an evergreen graphic years ago. That evergreen graphic talked about us being biweekly. I can't use it anymore. And so for a while, I had an evergreen graphic in black and white that emphasized we were weekly. Now I've got an evergreen graphic that we're going to be using that is up there that says, well, it says we're here. And it doesn't emphasize weekly because we are, and I guess people know about it. And I don't know, it's an old black and white thing, and I find it interesting. Let me know what you think of it. So look at WBAI.org in advance of the program, and if you see the evergreen graphic, oh boy, it talks about what you hear on the radio at 5 o'clock in the morning. All right, and at this point, I think I need to pitch. So this is listener-sponsored, non-commercial WBAI. And we are listener-sponsored, and that means we have to come to you to survive. And we need to do that. We don't sell cars. We don't have advertising for whatever the hell I have advertising for. We don't advertise liposuction or whatever. We are listener-sponsored, which means you who are listening to us right now, you are our sponsors. And we need for you to sponsor us. How do you do that? You do that by calling 1-516-620-3602 and telling the person who picks up the phone you want to become a BAI buddy in the name of Back of the Book. BAI buddy is the name that we call our sustaining membership, which means you contribute on a monthly basis to WBAI. It's automatic. You call 1-516-620-3602. You say you want to become a BAI buddy for Back of the Book. It's important to tell them Back of the Book, otherwise we don't get credit, and management is watching who raises money. And what you do is you tell them how much you'd like to contribute every month. It can be $5 or $10 or $15 or $20. Could be more, but those are the figures I figure most people are going to be able to handle. So you tell them you want to contribute that much per month. And you tell them what day of the month you want your credit card or your debit card charged. And that will set it up. You give them, you know, your card information, all of that stuff, and they will set that up. And every month you'll be charged that amount of money and you will become a BAI buddy. And they've got some little things you get. And I don't know, you get some little rewards for this after you've been in it for a while. I think they give you, it might be a tote bag. I'm not 100% certain. I should have known this, but we're not used to pitching any kind of premium. Oh, well. Next time, I'll be better with that. But anyway, 1-516-620-3602. Please give us a call at that number. Now, if you would prefer to pledge a lump sum, you call the same number. You can call the same number and say you want to pledge a lump sum to Back of the Book. and they will allow you to do that. One of our listeners, George, did that a couple of months ago, and there may be a couple of other folks who've pledged. We're waiting for management to confirm that because we can't see anything. We're recording this the day before the radio program, so we don't know who's doing what, and we can't tell if we've raised any money yet. 1-516-620-3602. You call the number. You say, hey, I want to become a BAI buddy in the name of Back of the Book. And you tell them how much you want to contribute every month. $5, $10, $15, $20. Tell them what day of the month you want your credit card or your debit card charged. And that's it. You will get charged that once a month, and hey, you know, $5 or $10 a month. Come on, that's pretty easy. All right, so there's that. Please call 516-620-3602 and tell everybody you wanna become a BAI buddy. All right, so, you know, in case anybody thought that the world is progressing and getting better, two men in Indonesia's Aceh province were publicly caned 77 times each for having engaged in consensual sex with each other. Yeah, anti-gay bigotry in Indonesia. The men were arrested in November after neighbors became suspicious of their relationship. God, crappy neighbors. The neighbors broke into their rented room and caught them having sex, according to Heru Triwajanarko, Aceh's acting Sharia police chief. So this guy arrests them instead of arresting the neighbors. The neighbors break in. This is how awful this Sharia law stuff is. This is where they murder people. In Iran, they murder teenagers for having sex with each other. They've done this for years. Since 1979, Iran has been murdering teenagers for having sex with each other. Christ. And it, of course, have murdered adults like crazy. God damn. You know, I have previously endorsed the extermination of the Taliban and all of those groups like that. And you know what? I think maybe Heru Twijanarko, who is the SA Sharia police chief, maybe something needs to happen to him too, and all the other creeps who are enforcing Sharia law. And the flogging took place at Banda Aceh's Taman City Sari Park. The men were in a circle. They were in the center of a circle, and dozens of people watched and took pictures of them being beaten with canes by the police. And this is the third time that people were caned in Aceh for consensual same-gender relations since Sharia law was imposed in 2015. Same-gender sex can lead to the death penalty in six UN states, according to the International Lesbian, Gay, Bisexual, Trans, and Intersex Association. Sharia law is the enemy, the same as Al-Qaeda and the Taliban and ISIS. Jesus Christ, these are horrifying things that are happening. In some odd news in America, this big thing about GameStop. GameStop is a company, a franchise that sells things like video games. And the some hedge funds decided, yeah, they're going to go down the tubes. Their stock is going to drop. And so they went and they shorted them. What happens with shorting is you essentially borrow the stock. You pay the entity you're borrowing a stock from a certain amount of money up front for this whole thing, and you get to borrow the stock for a certain time limit. And what you do is you get the stock and you immediately sell it. And then you wait for the end of the time period. Or sometimes you don't immediately sell it. You wait and hope that it goes, you know, higher or something. But most of the time you sell it right away. And then you wait for a while. And at the end of the borrowing period, you hope that the stock price is lower. That way you buy the stock and you give it back on the date when you're supposed to give it back. And in the meantime, you have made money. And it's called shorting a stock. And so these hedge funds did this, but people on Reddit got together and said, let's all buy GameStop and we'll keep going. We'll screw these guys up. Then they did for a little bit. It's estimated the companies may have lost like $5 billion. But the deal is these companies have all sorts of safety measures in place. They have insurance. They have all sorts of things to do about it. Plus, these companies have to be big, and they will generally recover for something like this. It's not unheard of to have a shorted stock screw you. It's all gambling. That's what happens with the stock market. It's gambling. It's the same as guys on their knees up against a wall rolling the dice. So, yeah, that's how it works. So it's an interesting story, but those big companies will recover. Some brokers will have their egos bruised. And I suspect that there are going to be a lot of spies in that Reddit social media area from the brokers from now on. They're going to get some new people they hadn't seen before, and they'll be watching for this kind of thing. Plus, also, I'm sure that somebody will write up a special insurance for social media action on this kind of thing. Yeah, it is an interesting story. Anyway, so we're going to have this coming week some real serious weather, and Pickles of the North has something to tell you all about weather.
We are going to have a nor'easter, as our Paul mentioned. We're going to get anywhere from, right now they're saying, anywhere from as little as 3 to over 9 inches of snow. Who knows? But we are going to have snow, and it's going to be cold, a different kind of cold than it is right now. So I thought we would go and read a little page from the book Weather, An Illustrated History by Andrew Revkin with Lisa McKaylee. And it's quite a good book. And this is about London's last frost fair. There are accounts of thick ice covering the River Thames in London as long ago as 250 CE. According to various historical records, there were more than 24 winters between 1309 and 1814 when ice on the Thames grew sufficiently thick to support commerce of sorts. In the coldest years, the result was a sequence of frost fairs, that is, when the ice became a playground, highway, and plaza, a carnival on the water, by one account from that time. The ice could form more readily because the river was wider than it is now, and thus slower, and the 19 arched passages for river water beneath the old London Bridge tended to slow the flow further as they snagged flotsam and ice floes. The 7 best documented fairs took place in cold winters between 1607 and 1814, in the heart of a climatic period later called the Little Ice Age. During the winter fair of 1607-08, barbers, shoemakers, and other merchants erected shops on the ice. Printing presses cranked out souvenir cards. Oxes were roasted and alcohol was heavily consumed. You gotta keep warm. During the brutally cold winter of 1683-84, the Thames was frozen solid for 2 months. The festival that year was dubbed the Blanket Fair. A popular chronicler of the times, John Evelyn, described the scene in his diary. Coaches plied from Westminster to the Temple and from several other stairs to and fro. As in the streets, sliding with skates, a bull baiting, horse and coach races, puppet plays and interludes, cooks, tippling and other lewd places, so that it seemed a bacchanalia triumph or carnival on the water, whilst it was a severe judgment on the land, the trees not only splitting as if lightning struck, but men and cattle perishing in diverse places, and the very sea so locked up with ice that no vessels could stir out or come in. The climate grew milder, and the old London Bridge was replaced in 1831 with a bridge that allowed the water to flow more freely, making the river less likely to freeze. That's London's last frost fair.
Oh, well, we could reminisce that these days. You know, they have these ice skating things. We could have Bacchanal on ice. Yes, for the whole family. Watch them tippling and probably setting up brothels on the ice. And oh, boy, yeah, let's have that. Bacchanal on ice. I'll propose that to management as a fundraising event for WBAI. Bacchanal on ice. Oh, boy, I'm writing that down. This is WBAI New York, 99.5 FM, broadcasting from a transmitter and antenna atop 4 Times Square, going through a new studio somewhere in downtown Brooklyn and originating in our living room somewhere else in Brooklyn. The program is back of the book. My name is R. Paul Martin. She is Radio's Pickles of the North. And you can find out more by going up to my website at glib.com, glib.com. You can also go to the official website of this radio station at wbai.org. We need to pitch again. We need to say, please, please, if you can, call in 1-516-620-3602 and pledge and become a BAI buddy. If you don't do that, I'll have to go and do Bacchanal on ice. Yes, you can call 1-516-620-3602 and become a BAI buddy, which is our sustaining membership. You can pledge $5, $10, $15, $20 a month, any one of those numbers. And just tell the person who answers the phone at 1-516-620-3602 that you want to become a BAI buddy in the name of Back of the Book. And choose what amount of money you want to contribute per month and what day of the month you want your card to be charged. And on that day, they will charge your credit card or your debit card, and that's how it'll all work out. All right. Please give us a call. Give us a call. Give them a call. Give the call center a call. We're not there. We're home right now. We got to pre-record this thing. Call them at the call center at 1-516-620-3602 and say you want to become a BAI buddy for Back of the Book, and we thank you for that. All right. And as promised, I want to talk about how Americans got so stupid. How the hell have Americans gotten so stupid? I think a lot of it has to do with how pampered we all are. We can believe things that essentially make no sense because a lot of the nonsense we believe in really has no big impact on our real lives. But that's also the thin end of the wedge for stupidity and magical thinking becoming the norm. It's harmless to have some people ardently believing that there are space aliens all around us. This is how UFOs became alien spaceships. We've had people seeing strange things in the sky as far back as there have been people. Most religions have sky phenomena as a part of their beliefs. Maybe the space aliens are becoming the new gods for some people. Most Americans just don't engage in critical thinking, and they figure that they don't have to. It's always dangerous to get into a comfort zone of thought and never allow anything to disturb or challenge that comfort zone. Religions themselves are an example of that. We've had religions for a long time, but they've been top-down organizations. And the guys at the top, and it's guys, the guys at the top of the hierarchy have usually been watchful that the superstitious house of cards didn't fall apart. Usually, stupid things related to religious myths have just led to the religion getting more followers or the people at the top of the religion getting more money. So the stupid stuff didn't adversely affect the religion itself. Noted exceptions have been things like the Children's Crusade. I don't think that people in the past have been as stupid as many Americans are today, or if they have, they had problems connected to it. and a lot more people believe in really stupid stuff now. And today, we have the advantage of knowing a lot more than people did in the past, and we live in a society that can disseminate knowledge about real life so much more quickly and efficiently than in the past. Some stupid activities can be chalked up to physical issues. Adrenaline junkies are an example of this. There are adrenaline junkies who will do things like climb mountains, but most of them take safety precautions. That's a sane thing to do. Those other adrenaline junkies who do things like go up to the tops of tall buildings and walk around and cavort with no safety equipment at all are being stupid. But at least they're compelled by something that it's very hard for them to resist. There have always been people who were adrenaline junkies and who got off on taking risks like that. Although these days, I think there are people who get into that sort of extreme risk-taking behavior because they've seen others do it and they want to get the adulation of people on YouTube or something. The real adrenaline junkies can't help it. The fame seekers are just being flat-out stupid. It's also possible that some of them are incapable of doing a fast risk-benefit analysis of what they're walking into. This is an example of when the stupidity does have real-world consequences, even though the people being stupid can't see that. Some flat-earth believers are an example of being stupid, too. I say some flat-earthers because some of them don't believe that nonsense. They just say they do in order to get into arguments. They aren't taking physical risks. They're just denying something that's obvious. You've got the 9/11 truthers and the QAnon idiots just believing things that have no basis in fact and which have been thoroughly refuted when other people have bothered to examine them critically. But these people keep on believing in those fantasies. As we've seen, QAnon crazies have gotten things to the point where people have been killed by their stupid beliefs. We have lately seen things getting to the point where people expressing bizarre opinions are pushed into stupidity that's not harmless. Health scams are rampant in this country, especially after Congress made it so that you can make all sorts of claims about a product, and that product does not have to be approved by the Food and Drug Administration before it's put on public sale. So you get guys like the one who was reported recently who shot up some magic mushroom tea in an effort to get high. That nearly killed him. You've got every sort of weight loss scam being offered to people, almost all of which make very clear that with their program, you don't have to exercise or cut down on the amount of food you eat. You've got people selling magnetic underwear that they claim will do something wonderful for you. And it's not too far from there to people going to the back room of a store or somebody's basement where someone with no qualifications or even training starts doing amateur liposuction to thin you out or starts squirting construction-quality silicone into you to plump up some parts of your body. People have paid with their lives for that kind of stupidity. And, of course, people have done things like this in the past, but today we should all know better, but so many don't. And the acceptance of stupidity has gotten so prevalent in America that now it has helped fuel this rise of the right-wing extremists. The people who voted for Trump in 2016 were generally selfish and/or stupid. Some were selfish and thought, for instance, that he really would get them their coal mining jobs back and that those jobs would last for generations to come. But a lot of the Trump voters were just plain stupid, thinking that he had solutions to problems just because he said he did. And now, with the use of rallies and tweets and the final push of a Bund rally, he got thousands of Americans to attack the Capitol building and even kill a Capitol building cop and force their way into the Capitol to try and kidnap and maybe execute people in Congress, and so thereby think of themselves as American patriots. You really have to be very stupid to not see the obvious contradiction there. And this can be traced back to the bad habits of magical thinking that we've made the norm over the past few decades. You also have mass communication services now dedicated to feeding the stupid what they want to hear. It isn't all the internet either. An overnight radio program that used to be all about silly UFO and Bigfoot sightings and which was broadcast nationally metamorphosed over the years into a program that spread right-wing conspiracy claims. I wonder if that program could be cited in the future as a hub for the epidemic of stupidity that has afflicted so many Americans. And there's no vaccine for stupidity. And we've been reading some mail from folks, and we're mixing and matching. We're reading mail that has been sent in a while ago. We have not caught up with our mail. And we're not just going to read all the old mail. We're reading also more recent mail. We're doing it back and forth. So right now, let's bear it all and read a little bit of your mail. Okay, this is from October 2020. This is from Tim, and he says, after hearing about your visit to the Veterans Hospital for the first time in 6 months, I think you could have been going out all that time. The buses and subway were not crowded as they are becoming now. You could still have gone for your long walks around town and gone to Coney Island. As you found the other day, the buses have become crowded again with students who just weren't riding since April until September. You also missed the free ride time period when most riders had to enter the bus through the rear door. Manhattan still has fewer people walking around in Midtown, although places like the Village and Little Italy and anywhere there are many restaurants have resumed seeing a lot of people in the evening, although the businesses close early now. Tim, who lives in zip code 112XX. Okay, well, thank you, Tim. Well, I'm still gonna stay in. I mean, the deal is, this could kill me. So I don't think I want to go out and say, well, I feel like going out and it'll be fun to go out. It might be fun to go out, but it also might be the last thing I do. Because you can go out and catch this thing. So, yeah, I think what's going to happen is we're going to stay in as much as we have been. We're going to wait until we get vaccinated. And then we'll be still cautious about it. And we'll see how this works. When do you think, my dear, that we'll probably be, you and I will be able to walk out, maybe go to Coney Island and stuff like that?
With or without masks?
Let's say with masks.
With masks? Probably, you know, once you get your both shots, I would feel okay doing that because, you know, I would wear goggles and mask like I've been wearing, you know.
But we also have you to worry about. You can catch the virus too. So we got to wait for you to get the shot, because I'll get my shot before you'll get your shot.
Well, then I don't know. Some people are saying that that will be May by the time people will, the sort of general populace will start getting it.
So you figure next summer we may be able to go out?
It's possible. It's possible at some point during the summer. I hope so. But who knows? We just don't know.
Okay.
You know, it's possible. And it's possible by the fall that the masks will be able to come off. There'll be enough. It depends on how many people get vaccinated.
Yeah. All right. Thank you, my dear. And that's been our mail. Well, I think that's it for Back of the Book for this week. All right. Thanks a hell of a lot for listening. We hope that some of you have called in and become BAI buddies in the name of Back of the Book. And thank you if you did. So there's that. All right. Thanks a hell of a lot for listening. We'll be back here in this time slot 1 week from now. And coming up next is the Ralph Nader Radio Hour. And at 7 o'clock this morning is Jim Freund with his program Hour of the Wolf, all about science fiction stuff. Okay. Look out the window. Enjoy looking at, right now we're looking at a full wolf moon. And bundle up and stay warm. And above all, remember what that hoping we're gonna get our stimulus checks Dormouse said.
He's cool. He's exciting.
This dude is bad.
He's sexy. Okay, maybe not. He's a bad mother.
Shut your mouth.
He's Tony Ryan. On WBAI New York 99.5 FM. He's got both.
Break him with the sound of the trumpet.
Can you dig it?
Yeah, I can dig it, yeah.
He's got classic soul. He's okay, I can't think of anything else.
I'm Tony Ryan. Tune in Saturday nights, 10 p.m. to 1 a.m.
Soul Central Station with Tony Ryan.
99.5 WBAI.
My name is Roberto Mangual. I've been in shelter tenant for 2 years.
I've been homeless for over 4 years.
And I became homeless after I was illegally evicted.
The mayor of New York City is supposed to represent all New Yorkers, including those experiencing homelessness.
Everybody deserves a better life.
NIMBYism has no place in the city.
Elected officials need to be held accountable, which is why we're holding this first-of-its-kind mayoral candidates forum on homelessness. And this time, people who are directly impacted by homelessness will be asking the questions.
And my question to you as mayoral candidate.
My question tonight is simple. If you become mayor,
what will your administration do to change this?
Nothing like this has ever been done before. Usually, we're voiceless and choiceless. Today, we have a seat at the table. 10 candidates for mayor will be there. We hope you'll be there too.
That's the Mayoral Candidates Forum on Homelessness, Thursday, February 4th from 5:30 to 7 p.m. on WBAI New York.
On this week's show of Working Class Heroes Radio, we speak with Aaron Petkoff, a software engineer, member of the Democratic Socialists of America, and a volunteer with the Tech Worker Coalition. We will speak with him about the current role of the tech industry in the U.S., tech workers' efforts to unionize, as well as the potential for the tech labor movement under the new Biden administration. We'll also talk about COVID and New York State's response to it, including disparities in vaccination, as well as vaccine registration technology. Tune in on Saturday, January 30th at 6 p.m. to catch our show, The Rise of the Tech Labor Movement, on WBAI 99.5 FM, the radio station for working class New York.
Hi, everybody. James Irsay here. On Morning Irsay, that would be January 31st, from 8 to 10 a.m., we'll have a special guest, Mr. Henry Sapoznik. Henry's done some fascinating research into a very special Jewish cantor, that is, a Jewish liturgical singer. Back in the day, cantors also sang in Yiddish, the language of the Ashkenazim. The marquee names all made recordings, mostly on 78. Henry's brought to light a very special cantor. They called him in the Yiddish tongue, Der Schwarze Chazan, the Black Cantor. He was an African-American named Thomas LaRue Jones. He made recordings, and we'll hear them. Join us Sunday between 8 and 10 a.m. for Morning Irsay's special guest, Henry Sapoznik, right here on WBAI New York.
It's autumn. The birds in Ear Massage are migrating to Sundays, 6 to 8 a.m. Ear Massage, sound, spoken word, a bit of opera, and maybe music you never heard before, including the ever-popular Bird of the Week. Ear Massage between Jeff Brady in other news and your Morning Irsay with James Irsay here on WBAI New York 99.5 FM. Ear Massage.